is Deacon Randy Hearn, and when Erin asked me to talk about this talk tonight, she titled it "Man's Search for Meaning," and the first thing that conjured up in my mind was the Viktor Frankl book. If you know who he is, he was a psychiatrist who was held in a concentration camp. He was actually in four different camps during World War II. And his journey was how to make meaning out of all of the suffering that was going on within the camps and how to continue to have hope. And so, as Erin said, I mean, we all have that primary question is, who am I? And where did I come from? And what is my purpose? And where am I going? So those are the questions we ask, kind of our ontological question of why we exist. And so, of course, this is couched within the context of God. We believe that God created us out of love. And he created us as an extension of his love because God is love. So we were made by love, to love, for love. So love is this underlying premise behind why we exist. And so our origin was from God, and our lives are about us discovering our purpose, fulfilling it, and then ultimately we return to God. So what Viktor Frankl had posited from what he observed in these camps was that we are ordered towards our future. We have our current existence, and beyond that, the past no longer exists. So we are ordered towards our future. And so God has created us, first of all, to understand our purpose, to realize why we were created, and to seek to fulfill that purpose in our lives. Next, we are created to love. But then the third thing is that we're created to embrace our suffering. So if we look at Christ as our model of the human form of God, we realize that his life was about these things, that his mission was to offer salvation to us, and he did that out of love, and he did it through suffering. So that's kind of a model for our lives, if you'd like to think of it that way. So we have a, by virtue of our baptism, we're endowed with what is known as habitual grace. That is, habitual, we mean that it lives within us, it habitates within us, this grace that is imparted to us by God. And so as that grace exists within us, we say that it has potentiality, that it is something planted within us that God has imbued within our being, that we have this potentiality to love God and to love our neighbors. And so the next part of that, through the realization within our lives, is the actualization of that grace. So it goes from potentiality to actual, that it means it becomes something real, as opposed to something that has yet to be elicited from our being. So if we think that God has placed this grace within us, then he has given us this ability to receive his love without earning it. It's just a gift that's given to us. He's given us this love, and he gives us another gift within this grace that we receive, is the capacity to share that love with one another. And then ultimately, he gives us the capacity to return that love to God. So God has created us so that we can receive his love beyond our own abilities to do that. We don't have to work to do that. It's planted within our being. He has given us the ability to share that love with others in the same way. It is planted within our character that we can love others. And then he gives us the facility to return that love to him. So what this involves is that we embark on a life of intentionality, that we understand what has been imparted to us, that we have a role to play in it, and that we will make the decisions to cooperate with that process in returning that love to God. So we didn't have to come up with it, we don't have to figure out how to do it, and we don't have to work to give it back to God. That seems like a really good deal. We can't really mess this thing up if we're halfway paying attention, okay? So the fulfillment of living a life of meaning, a life where we have a purpose about us and we are moving towards an end. The end that we're looking towards is eternal life. So that is the point where we came from God, we live with the aid of God, and ultimately we will return back to God. And so our mission within this life is to become more like God. Saint Irenaeus in the second century said that God created man so that man could become God. Or actually, I misphrased that. God became man so that man could become God. So what he's referring to is that God took on human form in the personhood of Jesus Christ. And he facilitated a means for us through imitation of him to become God ourselves. So not within this life, but ultimately when we are recollected into the total consciousness that is God. So it's kind of a mind-blowing thought. We go through life, we think we're here, God's up here. But God's desire is for this, for us to become the highest elevation of our humanity, which is unification with God. So our lives are a journey towards this effort. And so it is by pursuing this effort that our lives gain meaning. And so through the mechanism of the church, we've got traditions, we've got scripture, and we've got the testimony of people who have come before us whose lives have been invoked with this process of trying to live out our purpose and to actually be in unity with God. And so if we think about, I came up with this vision the other night when I woke up at 1:30. I guess I'm going to blame it on the Holy Spirit. It could have been bad pizza. I don't know. But I'm going to give you a really gross analogy here, okay? So everyone's probably familiar with the Wright brothers, right? They were the ones to first invent an aircraft that could dependably fly. So back in 1903, they were able to fly their first airplane at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And they took off on the first run, and they flew 125 feet. First time that that manned flight had been accomplished with a heavier-than-air aircraft. So these men who had this passion to learn how to fly, to learn how to create an aircraft that could get off the ground and navigate through space, they were driven by this immense passion to be able to achieve this realization. Once they had done it, they were able to convey what they had learned to others, who could then take their knowledge and add to it and expand upon it, so that through the course of time, this rudimentary aircraft evolved into engineers looking at the process and learning how to document it for replication and for improvement. So the aeronautical engineering standards were developed from there. Eventually, the Transportation Safety Board was evolved so that through their analysis of cause and effect of accidents, they could take what they learned from that and feed it back into the process of designing aircraft so that they became safer, more capable. So within a short span of time, we went from 1903 to the space age within, what, about 60 years, right? So today we still have pilots. We have astronauts, and we have people who are maybe passionate about flying. You may be passionate about flying because you can get into an aircraft and see 30,000-foot perspective of what the Earth looks like. We can have these passions without having to have gone through the process of figuring out all the engineering behind it. Do you follow me? So if we look at the beginnings of the church, it was a group of men who had a personal relationship with Christ, who had knowledge of his of what he talked about, how he lived, who his family was, what he did. They had personal knowledge that they then handed on to others in that first century, to where the people who knew him and the people who knew those who knew him had this personal connection with Christ, and so they knew him because of their passion for what they had experienced with living with him. Now, over the course of time, as we get more distant from that personal relationship, like the aircraft design, theology was developed in order to explain to the best of our minds this mystery of God coming into the world, and how God could occupy three persons, and all the other mysterious things about God's interaction with us, his people, over time. So we go forward 2,000 years, this experience of being Catholic that you have embarked upon, or learning about it at least, it means that if you have a passion and you have a curiosity, then follow that passion and let it be developed, and let that form your relationship with God. You don't have to be the theologian, no more than the pilot has to be able to design his own aircraft. Sure, there are things he has to learn in order to fly safely and to navigate, but he doesn't have to recreate the whole history of aviation. So similarly, if we look at the church, and it can look like this big complicated history of these ethereal concepts that are a little bit hard to grasp, we can put our trust in those who came before us, just like the pilot puts his trust in the engineers that came before him, and in fact the Wright brothers, to be able to invoke his passion for flying. We can invoke our passion for developing a relationship with our God, because we can put trust into the concepts from the people who came before us. So then we can rely upon sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and we can rely on the testimony of the saints and the testimony of others who have become before us and had this relationship. So the way this speaks into our being is that I encourage you in this time of discovery to look upon God as not a what, but a who. A person who created us out of love, by love, to love. And what does that mean as we form our intentions of assuming our being throughout the course of our life? How do we discover what we were created for and what our future holds for us as we move towards eternal life? So I have another kind of example of that that I'll steal from a Protestant evangelist named Nicky Gumbel. He says we can look at a cake and we can take that cake and do a spectrographic analysis of it and we can figure out what it's made of. We can also do an analysis to see how old it is. We can find out about when this cake was made. We can also look at it and maybe through some question and answer, we can find out actually who made the cake. But we can never find out what the cake was made for and why, unless we ask the creator of it. And so that's our search, is to find out why the creator has made us. What was the reason that each of us was knitted into being in our mother's womb long before anyone knew us as people? A God who created us from nothing to love. And so this is part of our quest, our ontological quest, to understand who we are, why we are here, and where we are going. And so hopefully this time of discovery through OCIA is going to be an opportunity for each of you to maybe dig into your interior, to find out what the beautiful things about you are, what those characteristics are that dwell within you, and how they can be of benefit to others. That the gifts that God has implanted within us are not for ourselves alone. They are principally to serve others. And then they give our lives fulfillment and meaning in the process. So I would invite you to just kind of think about this idea, about this grace that God has implanted with us, within us, the grace that He has given us to be able to express this love that He's put within us, and how that takes action in our lives. And that is the way that we can find our meaning in life. So, as with Viktor Frankl, man's search for meaning has very little to do with the physical appetites that we have, with the things that we can experience through our five senses. It has more so to do with how do we train our intellect to cooperate with that ethereal grace that God has planted within us. And how do we learn to share that with others to find the greatest and most fulfilling meaning of life?